Hello, this is Vivi on 90.8 FM Radio Campus Grenoble with English Talk Radio. My guests today are from EMBL, European Molecular Biology Laboratory in Grenoble. Welcome to Dr. Bogoraju and Dr. Griffith Jones to English Talk Radio.
Thank you, Vivian.
Nice to see you and nice to hear you. Can you hear me, Simon?
I can. Thank you, Vivian.
Oh, good. All right. I quote from EMBL, a new study of Bogoraju group at EMBL Grenoble reveals how the cancer-promoting MAGE family of proteins bind to the targets, aiding the development of anti-cancer drugs that target these proteins. Explain, please, Saga.
Yes. Just to take a step back here, I mean, humans, we have around 20,000 different proteins in our bodies, but not all of them are expressed in all tissues. So the specific set of proteins expressed in each tissue. And one thing that is particularly interesting about this MAGE family of proteins is that they're only expressed in testes normally, but during cancer progression, they also tend to express in cancers.
Because they change.
Yes, the cancer cells are different from the normal cells, so they tend to express these proteins. That's where the name comes from, actually, melanoma antigens, right? So, and this property alone was very interesting for us, and we started looking into this 4 or 5 years ago. And one of those proteins, what we found is that it interacts with a DNA repair protein called RAD18. And this interaction seems to be very important for the cancer. And we mapped this interaction in this study now. So the hope is that this study will then further prime new efforts from us and others in developing new cancer treatments in future.
So, Simon, tell us about this RAD18, because this interests me very much. This is an add-on, something like an add-on that will change things.
So RAD18 is a protein that is involved in the cell's response to DNA damage. So essentially when the DNA is damaged, this can cause problems when that DNA is replicated. And RAD18 is a protein that stimulates a mechanism which allows the damaged part of the DNA to be bypassed during DNA replication. And this means that the DNA can be replicated, and this mitigates some otherwise negative impacts on the cell, which can result in cell death.
Simon, when you say replicated, do you mean exactly? It can become the same. Is that correct? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. When cells divide, the genetic information also has to be perfectly copied and divided into two different cells.
Okay. I just want to be sure. Sorry, I interrupted you, Simon.
No problem.
Okay.
Yeah, so if you get mutations in that DNA, then this can also lead to cancers.
Yeah. So now this group, which is named for you, your group, how many people in it?
At the moment we are 6 people. Unfortunately, Simon just left for she finished her PhD and she graduated and moved to. But yeah, we are now 6 people, including myself. We have a technician and 1 PhD student and 2 postdoctoral fellows.
Okay, so all working together there. Was the initial research encouraging? It must have been for you to continue.
As always it is in science that we go through ups and downs. In this particular case, I don't think we really hit the bullseye in our first year, but we got encouraging results in the second year when Simone first showed me her data. it was really, really exciting. That's when we knew that we need to work on it and build on it.
You're on the right track.
Exactly.
Okay, Simon, what do you say to that?
What Sagar says is it's pretty true. It's often you have to adjust your approach, use different techniques in order to answer the question that you're interested in science, because sometimes the approach that you start with for one reason or another doesn't work out.
Yeah, I can see that. Talk about Red 18. Neither one of you, both of you, this helps with cell repair damage.
Yes, I can start, and maybe, and then Simon can add a bit. So Red 18 was first discovered in actually baking yeast. It has very similar properties as human Red 18. When they deleted this protein from the baking yeast and exposed the yeast to the UV radiation, so which is damaging DNA normally, and they couldn't recover from the UV exposure, whereas the normal strains were able to recover. That's where they linked this protein to DNA repair, DNA damage repair.
I see.
And it does exactly the same function in humans as well, although there are major differences, but primarily Red 18 also works in humans to repair damaged DNA. And this becomes extremely important in cancers, especially because, as you might know, many different cancers are treated with radiotherapy, which mm-hmm. involves exposing the tissue that is cancerous to radiation. And the way that radiation is supposed to kill the cancer is to induce DNA damage.
Right.
So that's where Red 18 plays a very critical role in cancer treatment and development.
It also sounds a lot like it could be a rock group. That's a wonderful Red 18. Doesn't that sound good? And here we have Red 18 today. It's a good positive word.
I guess so, yeah. I think I liked it when I started working on it.
You are listening to 90.8 Radio Campus, Grenoble. So eventually all your research will go into anti-cancer drugs, Simon.
My research? I don't know, maybe Sagar could comment on this, but... At EMBL, we mostly work with fundamental research. So it's kind of the initial stages, just kind of more exploratory research rather than actual drug development.
Yeah, I mean, she's right. The EMBL is primarily focused on fundamental research. So we explore basic mechanisms that govern diseases and physiology. Having said that, when we work on diseases, obviously there is also potential to explore our research for the treatments. And in this particular case, we are going to talk to a few companies to establish collaborations, because companies have great infrastructure to develop such a fundamental discovery into something that is useful for clinics. So we have to see how that goes, but I'm very hopeful.
Well, that's what I was thinking when I was typing this up late last night. I was thinking people are looking at you. They're looking at this research. They're already planning and plotting and saying, we could use that. We could use that. Right? I mean, that's not just a side effect of what you're doing. It's for the future.
Yeah, no, you're right. Absolutely true. Yeah. And we have at EMBL a nice department called EMBLEM, which is a technology transfer department. So a discovery is made that are potential to be translated into clinics. They are taken up by our EMBL technology transfer departments, and they have really good connections with industries,
which you need for research money.
Absolutely, and you know they have the infrastructure to and the expertise to actually take this to the next level.
Well, you can't deny, Simon, that I shouldn't say we, I'm not one of you, that you need the money for the research. And I noticed that you are supported by EMBL and EMBO.
Right. So
in your research. Can you hear me, Simon?
Yes.
Okay. Can you answer that?
We of course we need money.
All right, let's go on. The thing is, we do have to talk about the money because people will support the research. And I don't know if anyone listening today will support the research, but there has to be some point where you coalesce, you're saying, we're doing this, and they're saying, oh, that's interesting because we're doing this, and let's give you some money to do it some more.
Yeah, I mean, there is a very good system in place for these for these sort of things. So when a researcher has an idea that he or she thinks is exceptional and they want to get funded to execute those plans, then the person has to prepare a proposal. So,
right.
So it includes writing up what is known in the field and what your idea is and how it is going to help how it is going to help other research and also treat a disease, for example. And this proposal is reviewed by peers, typically other researchers within France or Moldova. And then it's being judged by them and be rated. Depending on the rating, then you get the funding or not.
The money.
Yeah.
Honey, yes, which is very important. What is next for your group? Do you have more proving to do for this discovery?
Yes, absolutely. You know, as you just mentioned about the money, so we just applied for funding to continue these experiments and potentially also go towards the translation into clinic by ourselves to a certain extent. And we are hoping to get funded. And depending on that, I think you will hear more about us in a couple of years.
Let's make a very nice show today so they can hear how good you two are. Simon, will you be back? Will you be back for this next part of the research?
I will not because I've moved on, but I will definitely keep up to date and I will keep in contact with Saga.
You will do your bit.
Yeah. She is a part of the patent, so she will be connected to the research one way or the other.
Well, as you both know, Grenoble is full of students. Would you encourage them to join your line of work? And it's quite difficult, isn't it? I mean, you have to come a long way from your undergraduate degree, medical degree, PhD. What else have you got?
I personally don't think you need those many degrees to get started, at least. I absolutely love for students to be in my group. We actually already had a few students from UGA working in my group, and they did exceptionally well. I'm always open to people writing me and asking me with coming up with different ideas. So, yeah, and we have a really nice training system at EMBL, and one of our core principles is also to train young students. So we are committed to that.
Simon, what do you think? You think it's a good...
I agree completely. If anyone is interested in this work, then it's definitely a good idea to get in touch, and our group is very nice. EMBL is an organization, it's a very good organization to do a PhD at or to go into research at. They have a lot of facilities, a lot of collaboration between groups. I would encourage anybody who is interested to get in touch.
Well, I think the idea is there's some guy sitting at his computer right now, with his music on, his headset on, and he says, hey, science? Oh, come on, science sounds like a lot of work. True or false? You know that guy? It is a lot of work, though. I mean, we want it to be. We want you to be perfect. We don't want to have false proving grounds. We want everything to be so right. When you say you've done something, someone's going to check you out and make sure you have done that in science.
Right, I can comment on this. I mean, science is a lot of work, but it is also spread over a lot of time. So I don't think it's stressful to complete a piece of work like we did. This took around 4 years of Simons and multiple others who are involved in this study to complete it and to go through rigorous testing and orthogonal testing and finally write it up and publish it. So each step is teaches you a lot. You have to work with a lot of different people, work with interdisciplinary, so people from fields of science which don't understand your field of science, you still have to work together.
Right.
I think this is exciting. Yeah. And this excitement partly contributes to your motivation, right? So you don't feel like giving up in your third year or second year. You want to take it to the end.
But you don't know at the beginning that it's going to be 4 years.
In this case, Simon's PhD lasts, there's a limitation of 4 years, so we knew we had to finish it up.
Simon, what do you say about that?
Sorry, I didn't hear exactly. Could you repeat?
Say it again.
I said that we had 4 years deadline because Simon's PhD duration is typically 4 years and we can't exceed that by much.
Yeah.
He was teasing you.
Things happen.
But that's true. I mean, at that time, when you start something, obviously, this is what I want to know, that you had something there. There was a kernel of something that you really knew as a scientist, that you had something. You weren't just saying, oh, well, let's try this today because it's Friday. You had something there.
Yes, absolutely. As I said, when Simon for the first time showed me very interesting data, we knew what we were going to do with this. But it's again, I think science is incremental to a certain extent, so you don't have to discover everything to publish a study.
Right.
And we, in my opinion, although did incremental science was a significant incremental science, but there's obviously no end to what we can do in this. So we can go as long as finding a molecule that disrupts this protein interactions, and that would be ideal. So that's I think that's far away from where we are right now.
Obviously, we talked about funding. One of the things that I find interesting, especially in Grenoble, where every other person's got a PhD, I should bring that in because, you know, it's not really talked about that much apart from if you have one. But at the same time, you know, this is often a science-based city. And there's a lot of talk about it. So I would like to see, not you especially, but I would like to see people, EMBL people, bringing science out with the science and society that we talked about before, that feeling that we don't know. We only know half a story. We read something, but it's not the whole story. And we don't want the whole story, but we want it to be articulate. We want to know, oh, so that's what they're doing now. And cancer research, I've been supporting that for, I think it's about 100 years now. And sometimes it feels as though nothing much has moved. And I know I'm wrong. I know there are certain cancers that are now benefiting from the research.
Yeah, I think absolutely. I mean, the progress is tremendous in the last couple of decades. I mean, if you look at the Nobel Prize given to three researchers a couple of years ago, which was called immune checkpoint inhibitors, I mean, let's leave it what it is, but I mean, majority of the cancers are also now being treated with these lines of treatment, which were non-existent before, so the science made that happen. It might seem slow, but in the context of human existence, I think it's very, very fast. So we're going to progress really fast.
What do you think, Simon?
I mean, sorry, I can hear only every second word.
I'm so sorry. Is it both of us? You can't hear either one of us?
I can hear you better than Fago, I have to say.
Oh, I knew it.
Yeah.
No, it started off, I was the bad guy. No, I talked about the fact that it seems as though cancer research, cancer miracles, are far and few between. What do you think about that?
I mean, it's certainly, similar to what Sagar said. Tremendous progress have definitely been made in the last couple of years.
Yeah.
How close we are to actually eradicating cancer, I cannot say, I'm afraid. Definitely mortality rates are getting better. So we're getting there.
Well, I think there's also that idea that you run out of hope for a while and then something comes along like your research and you say, ah, something's happened. Something is actually going on. And I don't know how it is with your family. I'm sure they're asking you, have you discovered anything to improve my situation yet? Because everybody knows somebody who has or has had cancer. It's not like it's a mysterious disease that we don't talk about. It's something that happens in life. And so, you know, you're right. You're both right in this good place. And do you enjoy your work, Simone?
Yeah, I mean, I finished my PhD now, so I'm no longer at the lab, but I definitely enjoyed doing research. And I found the topic very interesting.
And
I enjoyed it.
Sega, you enjoy your work. I can tell by the way you talk about it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I really like to work on fundamental questions, but also those fundamental questions have to have relevance to disease. And these are the topics I choose, and I'm very passionate about it. Usually the people I work with are also very passionate, and that brings out the best.
Yeah. Yeah, you burn off that. Yeah, so you're all feeling good about it. Okay, Simone, last comment, please. What do you think about our our technology at Radio Campus Grenoble? No, I'm joking. tell us, what's next for you?
What's next for me? I've taken a job in an industry position, which is allowing me to work on another aspect which I was very interested in, which was method development for a particular technique. That's what's next for me, because all good things come to an end, and unfortunately my PhD time came to an end as well.
Yeah. But it sounds exciting.
Yeah.
So you're ready for something new. I'll say goodbye right now. I don't know whether Bertrand's going to cut you off immediately or he's going to give me my phone back. But final comment from you, Sega, please, about your work.
We hope to continue our work, get funded, and work with talented people like Simone and attract more and more, including UGA. So if you're listening to this, please write to me and express your interest. I'm very glad to have you in our lab. And thanks, Vivian, for having me.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thank you very much.
You're welcome, Simone. I'm so sorry you had difficulty hearing us. Thanks to Dr. Sega Bogoranju and Dr. Simone Griffith-Jones of EMBL, Bogoranju Group. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yeah.
Bogoranju?
Yeah.
Ah, I did it. Group for being guests on ETR today. Thanks to Lisa Volner, EMBL PR, for setting up this interview. You can listen to ETR Wednesday 1900, and don't forget the podcast. Thanks to Bertrand, and congratulations to your group.
Thanks, Vivian.
English Talk Radio. Goodbye.